Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Four BAFTAs last night for The Banshees of Inisherin. Best Original Screenplay, Best Supporting Actor, Best Supporting Actress and Best British Film, even though director Martin McDonagh poked fun at how the Irish members of the cast and crew would react to the title of that award. Now, there was Irish involvement all through the ceremony. Three Irish actors up for Best Leading Actor. That did go to the Elvis star Austin Butler, though. So as we head towards the Oscars, what can we read from what was won and what was not at the BAFTAs? As Donald Clark, chief film critic with the Irish Times, is on the line. So, Donald, what is your take on that question? What do you think is likely to happen now at the Screen Actors Guild Awards and the Oscars, given what we saw last night?
Well, I suppose the disappointment there last night was probably greatest for Colin Farrell. I think going into last night's ceremony, he was probably seen as the most likely of the four nominated actors from Banshees of Inisherin to win. And there was a feeling, and I know you've quite correctly mentioned the degree of controversy that surrounds the notion of Banshees of Inisherin as a British film, though it is produced by a British film company. So is, you know, the same thing happened with Brooklyn a few years back, and it's actually reasonable enough to consider it as both. But as a result of that, whatever we may think about it, it was sort of seen as a bit of a home match last night for Colin Farrell. So that was disappointing. That is not to say he is ruled out, but you're correct to point to the Screen Actors Guild on Saturday. The acting branch of the Oscars is the biggest branch. That will point to a significant number of what a significant number of the voters will be doing when they come to vote for the Oscars. So you have to feel he kind of needs that to be get back into prime position. There were always three actors challenging for that, I think. I mean, Paul Mescal was lucky, was delighted to get in, as was Bill Nye. But it always looked as if the flashy performance by Brendan Fraser in The Whale, a flashy performance by Austin Butler in Elvis, and our own Colin Farrell were the three ones likely to win. And they're probably still the only three that could win at the Oscars, I think.
But now it would seem that Austin Butler is certainly out in front, wouldn't it?
I would think so, yes. I mean, it matters what they think of the film. You know, this is an issue. On that topic, I think probably the best review to those the three films involved is still The Banshees of Inisherin. Elvis was popular, but also but a bit divisive. The Whale was really divisive. It was hammered by a lot of people. So that probably hurts Brendan Fraser to a degree.
You thought The Whale was awful, didn't you?
Couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those festival openings where sentimental, and the fact that it comes across like a play, which it was, is not necessarily a bad thing, but in this case it comes across like a clunky play from the 1950s. But it was a strange thing, and the Venice premiere, at the end of the film, I kind of looked around and was astonished to see people leaping to their feet and screaming. That's the nature of criticism, that these things are divisive.
Do you think, though, that the reviews in the United States suggests that he still has a chance now, Brendan Fraser, to pick up that award?
Well, I think he does. Narrative is important as well. And the fact is that both Colin and Brendan Fraser have different sorts of comeback narrative. In Colin's case, he came back after a very brief wobble about, sort of 15 years ago, I imagine. Whereas in Fraser's case, he was sort of shuffled away from Man in the Idol status and has come back with a bit of a bang, at least in terms of festival coverage and awards potential this year. So they both, I think, have that potential. Fraser, in fact, is still just about favourite with the bookies. You can get him at 6-5 on. Butler is 6-5, and Colin's gone out to 5-1. So I wouldn't recommend anyone to put their money in with the bookies, but at 5-1, that's actually not bad odds for Colin currently, I'd say.
Let's have a listen now to Austin Butler accepting his lead actor award last night.
I want to thank my incredible hair and makeup artists who were by my side every day, and they allowed me to age over the course of 19 to 42 years old. And of course, I want to thank Mr. Baz Luhrmann. This film would not have been possible without you. Your vision, your dedication, your commitment every step of the way. I love you dearly. I want to thank my family. You are my everything. And lastly, I want to thank the Presley family. I cannot thank you guys enough for your love and for sharing with me who Elvis truly was. I hope I've made you proud. This means the world to me. Thank you all so much. God bless you.
I know he was criticised previously for still having the Memphis accent. There's still a bit of it there. You didn't like him as Elvis either. You said that the indelible memory of the real thing never allows his thinly drawn character to breathe.
Well, I did not think he grappled with a challenge that would be beyond almost any actor. I'll put it that way. I think what I was saying there was less that I thought he was bad than I thought that the task that was set him was more or less impossible. I mean, you have the notion of Elvis in your head while you're watching the film throughout, and though he's a very talented actor and very charismatic, I mean, he can never quite live up to that level of stardom, that level of charisma and the cultural influence that Elvis had upon us. But you're absolutely right to point out this sort of mini controversy that's surrounding the fact that that Austin Butler, who is from Anaheim, a suburban part of Southern California, still sounds wandering around the place in private talking like he grew up in Tennessee. It's most peculiar. It's not for me to criticize. I don't know if that's how he wishes to talk and that's how he's talking. That's absolutely fine.
Listen, the man owes Tennessee an awful lot, and he might owe them even more after the Oscars ceremony. Barry Keoghan and Kerry Condon, then, just coming back to the Banshees for a moment, they both did take the Spoils Donald Best Supporting Actor and Actress Awards. We'll have a quick listen now to Barry's acceptance speech.
All right, I've got a list here I've got to thank. Martin, thank you. I'm going to fly through this because I'm quite nervous. Martin, Colin, Brendan, Kerry, the cast, the crew, the producers, Fox Searchlight, Ireland, Brando. This is for my son as well, Brando, for my mother, and also for the kids that are dreaming to be something from the area that I came from. This is for you. Mm-hmm.
I know it's not always the case, but something like that, a win like that, it opens so many doors. I mean, the doors are already open for Barry and probably for Kerry as well. But what do you think an Oscar is likely, a BAFTA rather, at this stage, is likely to do for both of those actors?
Oh, I think in both their cases, it pushed them up a level, a notch on the ladder. I mean, Kerry was more established, it should be pointed out, to this stage. You know, she's been in a significant amount of television, done a few prominent films. She's been in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, is worth pointing out. People often forget this, that Kerry Condon films have made, like, sort of $2 billion or something, because she was the voice of the artificial intelligence that served Iron Man in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And Barry's just been incredibly busy over the last few years. I was interested in talking to Colin and Brendan Gleeson at Venice. I mean, they were very interesting about him, and they, you know, made the point that in a way that they weren't, that he was sort of focused on film and television immediately out of the trap, and he's, you know, he's been offered the roles and he's done brilliantly with the roles. As far as last night's ceremony went, I think it's interesting in that they were probably, I mean, they were certainly kind of like second favourites, and they were sort of challenging for those prizes, but they were not quite favourites going into it. And certainly, I think everyone has expected Kehi Kwan from Everything Everywhere All at Once, who you may remember as the juvenile actor in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, to win Best Supporting Actor. And I think the fact that they won earlier on gave the Banshees team the notion that they were going to do a massive sweep. And that didn't happen, you know, largely because they were elbowed aside in certain key awards by Edward Berger's All Quiet on the Western Front, an adaptation of that famous anti-war novel. So I think they must have been a bit disappointed by the end, because with those two winning early on, they probably felt they were going to win in all the prizes they were challenging for, and they didn't quite manage that.
Were you surprised at the success last night of All Quiet on the Western Front?
I was, and I probably shouldn't have been, because it was the most nominated film. We haven't mentioned on Colleen Kuhn yet, which, you know, it's just had an incredible run since its premiere at Berlin almost exactly a year ago. And it was up against All Quiet on the Western Front in Best Film Not in the English Language, which was always a bit of a challenge because Western Front was the most nominated film of the evening. And as it transpired, ended up winning the most nominations and winning Best Film. I mean, it is a peculiar one, yeah. And to this point, people have been underestimating it, despite the fact that it got 9 nominations with the Oscars. And I think you have to now consider it a real challenger for Best Film at the Oscars. I mean, I was kind of doing kind of some kind of real nerdy stuff about this last night, thinking about it. And you put it this way, if you're looking at a film that wasn't that didn't go on to at least be second favourite, mm-hmm. put it that way, for the Oscars, the best picture of the Oscars, after winning the BAFTAs. I think you have to go way back to The Queen in 2006. Yeah, I mean, after that, but there's always momentum that comes behind that. So I think it could be the Coda of this year. Coda being the small film from Apple, which was nowhere in people's consideration a few months before the Oscars and ended up winning Best Picture. I think it could do that.
All right, well, we'll watch out for that when the Oscars come along. But for now, Donald, thank you very much for your time. Donald Clark there from the Irish Times.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.